Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's a discussion of the latest entertainment news and celebrity gossip that go beyond the headlines. Welcome to Daily Pop, the podcast edition.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Daily Pop. I'm Carissa. This is Justin. This is Morgan. And we have a lot to discuss today. Emma Watson wants you to call her self-partnered rather than single. Is this the new conscious uncoupling, and do we need it? Then Miley Cyrus brings Cody Simpson to her brother's wedding. How soon do you invite a significant other to a family wedding? Then Demi Moore's daughter Tallulah admits she didn't know her mom very well until recently. We're discussing why. All that plus Kenya Moore is going to be joining us live in a little bit to dish on all of the Atlanta Housewives drama, which we know there's going to be a bunch because there always is. So move over, conscious uncoupling. Let's start with this. Emma Watson tells British Vogue she prefers to call herself self-partnered. So Emma is single. She's turning 30 in April. She discusses the pressures of hitting that milestone, societal expectations, if you will. She says there are so many anxiety-inducing messages around what it should be like having a husband, a home, and a baby, or being in some secure, stable place. Emma reveals to the magazine Out Friday that for her, quote, "It took me a long time, but I'm very happy being single. I call it being self-partner."
You know when you tell somebody that you have an illness or like you have like a disorder and they're like, "Oh my God, when did you get diagnosed?" And then the person says, "Oh, I self-diagnosed myself with that a few months ago." And then the person goes, "Oh." Because that's really not what's going on.
I've not had that many conversations.
I was like, where are we going with this? First day back. Okay.
So, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, so
self-diagnosed.
I like the term self-partnered, and I feel like she is right. When you're about to turn 30, even though I'm not a woman and I don't have a biological clock, in my mind at 29, I kept on saying, "Oh my God, I'm 30, I'm single. I can't believe I'm like not with someone. Does that mean that something's wrong with me?" And I think what happens is when we get to a milestone in our lives, we start to think, how would society like to see me at this point? And sometimes that can throw you into a depression. Mm-hmm. Now I'm gonna say I have lived my best life as a self-partnered person in these last few years of my 30s.
Totally.
And I am happy that I've gotten that experience.
Yeah, I think that happens with a lot of people when they reach a milestone age. I think it happens probably when you turn 40, and it happened to me too when I turned 30. I was like, oh my gosh, I should be further along. I should be doing this, I should be doing that, And I think we all kind of fall into that trap. And then, you know, sometimes it just takes a friend or your mom or your dad to say, like, who gives a what everybody else
oh,
says?
Oh, by the way, that's our new word. We're using it a lot on this.
I have a problem.
No, I know, because it's
because you're pregnant.
It's on prey. It's just spitting
out. Because you're pregnant.
But really, who does? Like, it doesn't matter. Like,
no.
There is no specific
It doesn't matter,
norm.
But
you're
then
lying.
It's difficult. Like, and I don't even feel like that stops at 30. I feel like at 31 or 32, like, you still are constantly like, should I be here? Should I be doing this? You know what I mean? Or somebody like me who, like, did everything by the age of 30 and is now undoing everything by the age of 31 or whatever is, like, challenging because you're like, well, I don't have a baby. When am I going to have a baby? Am I going to have a baby in 2 years? Am I going to meet somebody? It's just, there's all of these things I think society puts pressure on you. But I think also it's just human beings. You want to be the most fulfilled version of yourself that you possibly can be. Yeah. But I do think when you truly are happy with being self-partnered, as she puts it, is when the person comes.
For sure.
Yeah.
So this is like this week, and I feel like in 2 weeks, it's going to be like, well, this is my new boyfriend, and we're getting married in 2 weeks.
I've been self-partnered for 8 years, and that man still hadn't come. Okay?
By the way, that's... no, but you had relationships in between.
Yeah. A ship. I had a ship. But it's funny because when you just said, you know, who gives a S? Oh, I'm trying to be new in this, you know, anything. If you had a girlfriend back home or a mutual friend who was 30 and not married, wouldn't you think, ooh, what did she do? Or why is
totally.
She not married?
I have a
friend that's not married that's over 30. And I don't think that at all. I think she's had really great relationships and they unfortunately didn't work out. And that's life. But I don't. She's also, to me, not the kind that's in any rush to get married. That's not, like, a priority to her. Like, you have certain friends that you're like, they want to get married. You know that. They're the marrying type, mm-hmm. and they can't wait till they find that love, and they can't wait. But then other people are like, no, I just want to find the right person, and whenever it feels right to get married, I get married.
Did you feel the pressure to get married when you got married?
I didn't feel a pressure. It was just something that I wanted to do because I'm very cognizant of age. And I felt like, okay, I was 25. I was dating the same person since I was 17. Okay. That relationship was going absolutely nowhere, even though in my mind I was like, it could. It was not. And then I was turning 25 and I was like, I have to stop this relationship right now because I'm going to be 28 and I'm still going to be dating and sleeping with this person who doesn't want a future with me. So I cut it off. And then I met Brendan 6 months later and that was it. So I just feel like, it depends on the goals you want in your life.
Yeah.
But I definitely was somebody that I was like, in this town, I've grown up with all of the same people. I've gone to the same, you know, been in the same places for so long. I was like, I want to find somebody and settle down, or it's going to get to a point where it's going to be harder for me to do that.
I think part of it was a priority. Whenever you're growing up, especially in a small town, I remember telling my friends, like, by 22, I'm going to be married and have my first kid. I remember saying that in high school. And I used to have, like, a pact with my friend's brother that's like, oh, if we're not married by 22, we'll marry each other, like, the whole friends thing.
So weird.
22 is nuts.
We hit 22, we're like, what the hell are we thinking? Like, I'm not ready to get married for a long time
so
yet.
So crazy.
Yes. It's like sometimes what you put in your head, and depending on where you grow up, like, you have this idea of how your life is going to go, and then life happens, and it doesn't go
the way
you expected.
But don't you also feel like 30 is a lot younger than you thought?
Yes.
28 was the worst age.
28 was the worst.
28's a waste of time.
27 was the best.
27, I got engaged at 27. It was the best.
28 was
age.
Horrible.
See, 28 was great. I love 28 because I was like, I'm not quite 30. I'm just like living my life.
But you had a man. You had a future. You
trajectory.
Had a job. You
yes.
had a trajectory. At 28, for me, being a man, it was the anxiety and the sleepless nights of, what are you going to do? How are you going to make it to the next level
yep.
in your career, mm-hmm. in your situation? What's going to happen? For us gay men, unfortunately, men get better with age, so nobody ever wants to settle down. And because Instagram has become so popular and now everyone has Delta points, they're flying all those young, you know, dudes in.
I always so don't put the mile in.
It's hard. You gotta put the miles in.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's super
so
hard to
do. So do you
here.
Feel the same? I think women, honestly, like, put the age on such an emphasis because of having babies. And we
yeah.
worry, like, oh, no, after 35, I may not be able to have a baby. So if I don't get married by 30, then ooh, I need that time.
Mm-hmm.
But for you, is it that same expectation? Like, there's a certain age where you feel like you need to be married by?
30... Different things for different reasons.
No, I think, well, for the vanity portion of it, at 36, it always looks cute in Vanity Fair when the 3 is big and the 6 is kind of small. The groom was 36. You know what I mean? Like, I like that whole aspect of
Are
it.
Are you going to be in Vanity Fair?
Yes,
okay.
My wedding's going to be in Vanity
okay,
Fair.
Okay.
But I think for myself, being married is not important to me. I think I put an age limit on having a child because I do kind of sort of want to be the young dad who can keep up, who's coaching this,
totally.
Who's going to this PTA. I don't know if my mom had a baby at 41 and I see what she's like now at, you know, 56. And it's like a tough grind for her because my sister keeps her on her toes.
Yeah, it is. It's very true. That's the thing. It's like everyone's like, age doesn't matter. But you know what? It does. Like, that is a very good point. Like,
yeah.
you want it. Like, I'm somebody, like, I'm being set up with, you know, 47-year-olds. And it's like, okay, well, then we need to have a baby in the next. Like, that's already kind of like.
Date two conversation?
It's just a little bit like, I mean, not that I'm going to end up with somebody that age. I'm just saying, like, if I was going to seriously date somebody or fall in love with somebody who's 47 years old, it's like, okay, well, then we need to kind of get married and have a baby in the next year.
But it's so funny. It's
so
weird.
Hopefully no one's watching because I'm kidding.
But why do you care about being? But why do you care about being married again?
I care so much about age. Like, I'm like, now I'm thinking about this conversation, I would be a liar. Like, I'm already like, okay,
marriage one didn't pan out, and I'm kind of like, okay, but like, what about marriage number? Like, I'm there. Like, I want to have a family. I want to have a husband. I want to.
But there,
I like being
you
married.
You can have a family. You know, there is not an age limit. Yes, there is. Yes, after 35, they call you high risk pregnancy if you get pregnant. But at the same time,
I'm sweating through my dress.
You can. It can happen. There's. I mean, I can. You know that. There's a million examples out there of people who've had babies over 35.
For me, I personally would like to do it. I think 34 is a fabulous age to have a child. 33. I mean, you can have an age at whatever.
But the problem with that, is that you may settle for something because you're so focused on that goal.
That's the thing, and I'm very split because I'm very like, no, take your time. You've never really taken your time with anything. You wanted to do everything and wrap it all up in a bow, and then, but then you're still like, and I'm like, take your time, have fun, and date, and then I'm like, but no, like you have to stay on this course.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about this with Dana tomorrow, too.
You need to talk to, you definitely need to see a therapist.
Okay, maybe we should stop giving advice. The therapist has got you from here.
We're going to split that. We're going to split that
doesn't
session.
Doesn't everyone feel that way? It is. Everyone still feels like.
It's a battle
within
your head.
If you want three kids, are you not thinking, okay, I'm giving birth in this month, but like if I want another kid, when are we going to start planning that? Even your marriage.
It's overwhelming to think about while you're pregnant.
Are we clock ticking? Is this a joke?
No.
I'm going through a lot.
You guys feel us. You know what we're talking about, you know, it's that constant inner battle where you're like, it doesn't matter.
Time I need the air, Tom. For the first time.
Let's get you guys up to speed about what's going on with Miley Cyrus, shall we?
Yes.
So her younger brother got married, and guess who she brought as her date? Her new boyfriend, Cody Simpson, of course. So Miley and Cody have been inseparable for a little over a month now. The wedding seemed pretty chill, but too soon to bring a boyfriend to a wedding? Family wedding? Brother's wedding?
I had to laugh when I got this rundown because it was like, you guys were talking about Miley Cyrus. Like, what do you mean? Like, this is not like your most conventional human being. Like, she was married for 10 years. She was in a relationship over the summer with a girl. Now she's with Cody and they've been, you know, TikToking and making out and doing all the things. Like, no, what do you mean? Like, no, it's not too soon. He's around and there's a wedding, so they're going.
Yeah, I think that you're right. And also, like, Miley's not typical, but neither is the Cyrus family. They don't seem to be one of those people that are like, oh my gosh, she brought somebody what is the big deal? There's certain families that are, that's a big deal, and there's other families that are like, okay, so she brought this guy. That's who she's seeing right now. It's fine.
You know those families who the dad kind of controls like the purse strings and the dad brings his new girlfriend to a family event, but you can't say anything because you don't want the dad, you don't want to piss the dad off. And you also can't imagine your life without that Amex card.
That's like all my friend's dad.
So you just kind of do what normal people do. You just talk about it to your sibling later on. I feel like a lot of the Cyrus family, they're kind of sort of on that purse string. They got married at her Nashville home. You're not going to tell the owner of the home she can't bring who she wants.
And I also think they just care about their daughter being happy right now. Like, she's obviously had to go through a lot in the past few months. And, like, it's just not, like, if you brought someone home or I brought someone home and we were at a point in our life where we had never been married or it was maybe our second time around, I think it's just a little bit more
significant.
Significant, important. And I just think that they're just like, if Miley's happy right now with Cody, great. If he's gone in 6 months, great.
It's kind of like what we talked about yesterday. You were here. I was like, who was here yesterday?
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about that yesterday with, like, Ashley Tisdale, and her father was like, okay, we'll see how long this one's around. I think a lot of times, like, families know when you're going through, like, a dating phase.
Totally.
And they're just like, all right, come on, buddy, have a seat, and we'll see you in a month, maybe, maybe not.
I don't know. I bet you if it was a broke sister trying to bring Lil Xan to the wedding, they'd be like, well, he's not allowed. It's favoritism with people who are more successful. You let things slide for family members who have a little money or who give a little bit more to certain things.
You think?
Yes.
I don't know.
My rich auntie can get away with anything and no one will tell her anything because everyone's afraid to get cut off from the purse string. That's just the truth.
Okay, well, I don't know. Maybe that has to do with it. Maybe it's just, I think, her character. I just think she's like a free spirit and they know that about Miley and it is what it is.
All right, if you got married again and you invited a celebrity who invited three extra people to your wedding, you wouldn't tell the celebrity, I can't believe you brought an entourage of three to my wedding. You'd be so happy that the celebrity was there. Same thing with this.
I don't know. Those plates are expensive.
You would have found the money.
Depends how, it's kind of.
If Justin Timberlake would have came, you would have found the money.
Oh, I love him.
Heidi Klum.
Heidi Klum would be at the wedding. She's in it.
She would be.
All right, well, let's talk about
Caitlyn Carter, because Caitlyn has been opening up about her whirlwind romance with Miley. Caitlyn does not name names, but obviously we know who she's talking about, because she starts her essay off by saying, "This past July, I went on vacation with a female friend. The next thing I knew, I was in love with her. It wasn't quite that simple, of course, but it also wasn't very complicated either. Until that trip, it had never crossed my mind that I was even capable of loving a woman the way I loved her." This was in Elle magazine, by the way. Caitlyn and Miley's fling, it didn't last too long. It was about 6 weeks. But she fully admits that she was in love. Have you ever fell in love that fast?
I hope no one ever questions me falling in love in the time period, because I feel like a lot of times it's the people who have been I'm in love on Instagram, and then 2 months later they break up with their boyfriends. Love is love, and it's different for everybody. So if I decide to meet a man at 4 o'clock and I'm in love by 9:30, let me ride that wave until the other shoe drops, and just be my friend and support me.
Yeah, I agree.
I feel like you always start out in love and then you fall out of love, right? Like, I feel like if the second you like somebody, you're like, oh, I love this person, I could do all these things with them. And then, like, as the weeks go on, you realize, like, this person's either not for you or for you. Right?
But when you start
out,
that feeling,
you start out on a high tank.
Yes, but that feeling, though, like, I think if you ever, like, really loved somebody, that feeling is never questioned later. Like, when I look back at relationships when I was in love, maybe it was wrong and I should have saw all the signs way earlier than I did, but I know I loved them.
Completely.
You know, like,
very
you
well
can't
said.
Question that.
Yeah,
right?
I agree. No, I agree with you. And I do truly believe that Caitlyn was very in love with Miley.
Yeah.
I really think she was.
I do, too.
Oof.
All right, guys, coming up, we're going to read your tweets. So share your thoughts with us on our top stories using hashtag DailyPop. Plus, Demi Moore's daughter, Tallulah, opens up about not really knowing her mom. How painful would that be to hear? We'll get into that after the break.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, let's read some of your thoughts on our story so far. Judith says she agrees with Emma Watson. She says, love yourself, damn it, and let's show others how to heal and love themselves too. As a world, we all gotta heal and love ourselves. Mm-hmm. Okay. Rita says, I think about age all the time. I've always been afraid to turn 30. I'm 25. You'll be fine.
Also, I have dreams that my teeth are falling out, which says you have a fear of getting older.
No, I heard that's because you're not feeling attractive, because I used to have that dream too.
I think you guys...
No, I Googled it. No, I'm a...
Sorry.
Is that the issue?
I don't know.
Work on this. I've developed this thing. I'm like a frog. Do you see it?
No, I don't see it.
Ribbit.
But I don't know. What is the dream of your teeth falling out?
It's getting older. Fear of getting older. It's
really?
It's hot in here.
Okay.
We're doing a show today.
Okay, sorry. And Callie says 30 is different depending on where you live. She says in a small town, 30 is old because people are usually marry their high school sweethearts and have kids right away. But in LA, people are still stumbling drunk out of clubs.
Speak for yourself, except unless you're in New York. Then
what are y'all looking at me for?
It's true that it's
been stumbling out.
Had a good time. It's so fun to have a good time in your 30s because you can be responsible about it.
Yes.
And you know how to deal with your hangover properly.
Yes.
Cool.
All right. Demi Moore's daughter, Tallulah, is sharing insight into what it was like being her famous mother's daughter. Mm. Here she is with her mom and sister, Rumor, on the new Red Table Talk.
I felt like my mom made a choice to hold back certain things from, like, sharing about her past. And I think that always made me feel very far away from her. And it always made me feel like I didn't know her very well.
Yeah.
So, like, I knew she had a career. She met my dad. She had grew up in New Mexico. But it was like...
That was it.
That was it.
I don't believe in emotional archaeological digs for just the purpose of digging.
But I don't think my mom was raised. She was forged.
Yeah.
You know, like she was made. And the strength that comes from that is intimidating.
So good.
Wow. It's kind of crazy to have that looking back and feeling like you didn't know your mother.
But don't you feel like everybody feels that to a certain extent?
Yeah.
You feel like you know your mother as your mother, not as a human being. And I think only when people get older do they truly have an understanding as they emotionally mature and grow through their own experiences and maybe go through something that their mother went through that you kind of understand your parents as people more than just as the people they're supposed to be to you.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like now I understand my mom more as a human being. I see so much of myself in her. All the things you can't stand about your mom, you have, right?
Yeah.
Like all of her obsessive compulsive questioning and details. I'm like, why are you like that? And then I'm like, well, what happened? Exactly.
You're
send me the
exactly
text.
Like that.
Exactly like that. And I don't necessarily want to be, but you know, I know she's from Switzerland. I know she was married before my dad. I have a brother from, like, I know all of, like, the facts, but do I know what she was like at 32 when she was single before she met my dad? No. Mm-hmm. Not really.
I bet you're experiencing that right now
but
because now she's opening up about
it. Right. Well, now it's, like, kind of we're in a similar place. She already had a son at that point, but I just think, like, only when you kind of have your mother open up to you or she's famous and goes through something that she explains her truth in detail do you really know that. I feel like mothers and parents, not protect, but shield that aspect of themselves from you.
No, but they also sweep.
Totally,
100%. A lot of families sweep under the rug, and a lot of times, the things that I didn't understand about my mom when early on in life are my dad, and now being older and going back and realizing and taking like a mental inventory of what I now know, it's like you start to understand that person a lot more. But I think what happens is parents try to shield their kids from the things they went through in the past because they don't want them to have to hurt that way.
Yeah.
But in the long run, it just pushes you further away from your kids because you're trying to hide it.
It's also you just try to be a parent. It's even like when you see old pictures of your mom and she has a cigarette in her hand, and then she's like, but you can't smoke cigarettes. It's like, well, you were a person before you were a mother. You had cigarettes.
Yeah.
Like, it's just everyone. Ultimately, I think people become people no matter what.
Yeah. And honestly, I think about now, like, being a mother, like, with raising Chase, I don't know that I would do anything differently. Like, there's so many things that I don't know when would be the right time to tell them. I feel like you don't tell him all the stuff that you've gone through until he is at that age and he can appreciate that wisdom. I feel like...
Right.
Yeah, but at 9 years old, these girls were dealing with somebody who wasn't sober and wouldn't explain why she wasn't sober. And then you had other adults in their lives lying to protect her, but also trying to protect them. And that wasn't the way to go about it. So I feel like there's so many different layers to it. And this reminds me of, remember when Mommy Dearest was written and the movie came out and it was this huge thing about how Joan Crawford was like crazy and how she was abusive and X, Y, and Z. And it took me back and I thought about it for a minute. And I thought, what if Joan Crawford would have been honest with her kids about the things that she had went through in her early life?
And career,
and what her mother did to her, and what the studios did to her, and how they made her feel insignificant.
I mean,
She
had no back teeth to make her cheekbones sink.
What if we would have gotten her side of the story? Would Joan Crawford still be that big bad wolf? And I say that because here you are, you have Demi Moore finally, you know, releasing all the things that she went through in the past, and her kids are now able to resolve some of their issues with her.
Oh, 100%. You guys, this whole episode is so good. Rumor talks about, like, the scary moment that she thought her mother was going to die, being right there. And they all talked about knowing the signs of when Demi had lost it or was drunk or, you know, they could just tell. And it was one of those where they had this now relationship where Demi felt like the child, like they were taking care of their mom. And I think that's so common. And them opening up about this on Red Table Talk is going to help so many families.
I think a lot of people are like that.
And it hopefully forces conversations because I think it took this family many, many, many years to get to the point where they can be open and honest with each other about how they truly felt.
It took a book.
100%.
It took a book for them to be open.
So it's a good learning lesson to, you know, don't wait. Life is short.
Life is short.
If you have those feelings, then you should talk about them.
Can you imagine waking up one day at 10 years old and your mom reverting back to a behavior that you didn't know and no one explained it to you?
Yeah.
Like, you know, Tallulah was 9 years old when she fell off the wagon. And she had no idea what off the wagon meant.
Right. She had a new stepdad.
She had a new stepdad. Like, it's crazy.
It's a lot. But I appreciate them being honest and sharing it with us because I think we're going to learn a lot and it's going to help a lot of families.
Mm-hmm.
All right, still ahead. All right. Matthew McConaughey has joined Instagram. Why did he finally join? I don't know, but I'm excited about
it.
We'll discuss just ahead.
I know exactly why.
Oh, yeah?
This is my first venture into sharing myself and my views with the world, and I'm a little bit nervous about it. I know I want to have a monologue. I'm not sure I want to have the dialogue. If it tickles your funny bone, if it makes you think a second, if it makes your heart swell up a little bit, if it makes you take a quiet moment for a walk and go, I got to check in with the M and the E. Hopefully all those things. Let's have some fun with it, though, and let's keep the high eye, not the low eye. High eye.
Wow.
Yes, he is loving California right now.
The high eye and the low eye. I want a high eye all the time.
You might know exactly what that meant.
The high eye, yeah. No, what was the M and the E? I was like, what's that? And Justin's like, it's me.
It's me.
Got it.
That's Matthew McConaughey. He is the latest A-lister to join Instagram. Man, I was so excited. I went and followed him right away, and I luckily this time did not have trouble. Let me follow him. But this is now Jen Aniston. We've got Matthew McConaughey. I don't know who's next, but more A-listers are joining Instagram.
Hell yeah, because their agents are like, you know that Lincoln and Aveeno contract you have? You can make $2 million if you post 4 times on an Instagram story. These people are seeing how much people are making with flat tummy tea or with all these like different products.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting smart to it because they know that they're going to get left behind on this Instagram thing.
It's honestly the A-lister. I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't exist anymore, but like nobody is above Instagram.
Angelina,
because Angelina has different priorities and doesn't care. But I just, or you know what? It's still young. She might do it. I just feel like if you're going to be seen as somebody who is relevant and with the times, you need to have an Instagram account. It doesn't necessarily need to be your personal Instagram account. You don't need to share every single thing. But just to have an update on you and to have all of the information in one concise place, I feel like get on the gram. I might take a 2-week break, though. I'm at
that
point.
Get on the gram.
I might be at that point.
I'm pretty happy about Matthew being on. I think he's going to have a fun one.
Well, the high eye. I mean, we all want a high eye.
I'm already like, all right, I don't know what you have to say next,
but I'm
tuning in. All right, let's talk about Cardi B. So she is revealing that she grew up in the most strict home ever and plans to raise her daughter Culture the same way. Apparently, Cardi was not allowed to go to the movies with her friends, and every day it was a challenge for her to take her piercings off so her parents did not know about them. Cardi thinks if her parents weren't so strict, she wouldn't have graduated high school or gone to college. And she even said that she could have been a teen mom or even died. She's thankful for how her parents raised her and hopes that Culture does not think she's mean or hates her because of her similar parenting style. I was a little shocked to hear that Cardi had strict parents.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. I think we were all probably a little bit shocked to hear that considering she's such a free-flowing person who doesn't seem to be inhibited in many ways. Yeah. And I just feel like, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
But usually, isn't that the case? Like, if you get to have McDonald's your whole life, you don't want it. When you don't want it, you don't get it, you want it. When you are, like, held in sort of, not held.
Contempt.
But when you are restricted to a lot of things, that's when you want to be like, what is all this stuff, world? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What? That was like in Toy Story 3 or something.
Is strict parenting better than being the cool parent?
I think so. And there's a balance.
There's a balance.
But you know those friends you had when you were growing up that you're like, why aren't you like their mom? They're so cool. And those kids right now are a
struggling mess. Struggling.
They're a disaster.
Struggling.
So I was happy to have a balance. I had parents that were very involved and not strict, but around and structured. And I'm grateful for that.
Same.
The cool mom, the young mom, the mom that's like, hey, kids, mess.
Yeah, I think you can't go too far one way. There has to be a balance.
Yes.
I think when you're too strict, you're right. I understand everyone's logic around it, but just from personal life experience, all of those kids turned out to be wilder 100%. Than all of us.
It causes rebellion. You want to rebel and resent because you need to let people grow into the people they're going to be and make the mistakes they're going to make. You can't protect and hold people in a corner. That's when people fight back.
Yeah, but we always think our parents are strict because we compare them to other parents. You know what I mean? Like, her parents were probably strict compared to the girlfriend who got to go out and get tattoos at 14 and X, Y, and Z. My mother's motto from 0 to 14 years old was, I don't play. And you always knew, but my mom had to be strict because my dad wasn't really around.
Right.
He wasn't really part of the parenting scheme. And, you know, circumstances out of our control, I got a lot of freedom at 15. I got to do my own thing. I worked. I had, like, my own little spot.
Your friends.
I had my friends. And I think I got through high school, and I went to college, and I got to the place that I was because I had that strict training mm-hmm. from the time that I was born until I was 14. So in my mind, I think you have to be strict up until a point, and then you have to know when to loosen the reins a little bit.
Agreed.
And to let someone grow.
I feel that's hard for a lot of parents sometimes because they're in such a habit of being so strict, and they're so scared that their kids might make the same mistakes that they made as a teen, and that gets, like, pushed on their kids, and there is a certain level of trust. Sometimes the more trust that you give your teenagers, the more that they'll show you that they're worth
100%. No, I agree with that.
It's not about how the parents grew up. You blame your older siblings. Because if your older brother or sister wild out at that age, your parents always switch it up and go even harder on you when you're the second or third child. The fourth child, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Like, as long as you come home alive and breathing, we are good.
The fourth child.
The second child and the third child are always, I was a middle child. My sister did a lot growing up. She got away with a lot. And my mom always, like, really cranked it down on me because she didn't want the same thing to happen.
I think the same thing. My brother got away with everything.
But he's also a boy.
Yeah, whatever. All right, up next, Dennis Quaid's rules of engagement. Do you need to wait a year between saying yes and then saying I do? Is that important, that 1 year time frame? We'll get into that next.
If you like a good murder mystery story, you'll love June's Journey, a free hidden object mobile game where Detective June Parker unravels the mystery of her sister's death. Travel back to the beautifully illustrated 20s, find clues, discover hidden objects, and watch the story unfold with new chapters released weekly. Put your detective skills to the test. Download June's Journey on Android or iOS, or play online via Facebook games.
It has to be a year from the time that you ask her. I think that's the etiquette.
Yeah, he's been teaching me.
Otherwise, you're
things.
Suspect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If a year goes by and you haven't done it, what's wrong with you?
No. No. But if that works with Dennis Quaid, yeah, roll with it. Yeah.
She's been with her man for a while, though. I think it depends. If you maybe met the person last week.
Yeah. Well,
maybe. But, like, you know.
But then, you know, even then, I've heard people, like, you know, met somebody 3 months later, got married. They're still together. Like,
yeah.
15. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, so, I don't know. I think it depends on the person. But listen.
That works for you.
Roll with it.
I love her. So that was Mary Happy Whatever star Dennis Quaid talking about the rules of engagement, and then Susan Kelechi Watson and Marsha Stephanie Blake from This Is Us reacting to him. So who do you agree with here? How long should an engagement last?
I don't know, because I'm a long engagement kind of guy. Like, I feel like I'm going to want to be engaged for a minute.
What's a long engagement?
Like a few, like 2 or 3 years.
That's a long,
yeah, Chris and I were like, oh my God, no way.
No, yeah. I think when you get the ring and you get engaged, it's the promise that you're ready to take your relationship to the next level. I don't think that it means like tomorrow or in 11 months.
We've had this argument before. I'm not doing it with you again. When you get that ring, it means you want to get married. It's not like, would you think about getting married? It's like, do you want to?
You've
get
said
married?
Yes to marrying.
You said
me.
Yes to marrying me. And so I think then the plans need to start happening. Otherwise, why did you give me the ring?
We love our traditional little Carissa, and I would happen to agree with you. I think that they say a year engagement because that's usually how long it takes to plan a wedding.
Yeah, exactly.
I can plan a wedding in 3 months.
Well, it's
then
very
you got budget.
Hard. If you have no budget, it's easy to plan a wedding. Like, Kris Jenner could throw a wedding together in a week.
Sure, no problem.
I could not.
Expenses don't matter. But me, I needed the year. I needed 6 months to save,
and
see
also
how much it was going to cost.
You get engaged. You have an engagement party. Then you have to come up with a wedding date.
Bridal
shower. You have to find your location. Bridal shower, bachelor and bachelorette
parties.
Yeah,
but can you imagine? But imagine
so
if you had
much.
2 years
much.
To do that or 3 years to do
no.
that. You wouldn't be in such
but
a
then
rush.
Then excitement wears
dwindles.
Off.
Agreed.
No.
I like the compact. 1 year, it's a good amount of time because you have time to breathe and enjoy calling them fiance. You have time to plan the wedding that you want. But it's not too far away to where the excitement wears
and
out.
Everyone's like, you guys are still getting married. Oh, the wedding's now? Like, no, I agree with you. I agree.
No, because that's when things get a little hazy. I feel like a lot of times when men propose, they spend a lot of money on that ring, and they give you that ring, and mm-hmm. they're like, okay, let's take a minute. And I feel like women don't take into consideration that men like for their career situation to be in the right place.
But they also they've gotten that ring. They've agreed to wanting to do this. So yeah, if things are not right, then they don't have to propose.
Yeah, but if agreed you propose, to do it, but I didn't agree to do it today
but
or I think tomorrow.
But I also do think we're not giving the guy enough credit. The guy who proposes and gets a ring for his girlfriend wants to marry her. So he probably wants to get married soon, too.
That doesn't always happen, and that's the issue.
It's different. I think also, like, the next time I get engaged, I'm probably going to get married sooner than a year, like we were saying.
Because you'll probably do it smaller.
Should have done a boat.
No?
I'll do it bigger.
Bigger?
Yeah. I don't know. Who knows? What if I don't ever get married again? Sorry, Mom, I'm kidding.
All right, let's read your thoughts on whether it's better to be a strict parent or not.
What's happening?
You haven't even kissed a guy and you're talking about a second wedding? Can we get your divorce papers first?
I'm really so not fun single at this point.
Okay, so Renee says, my mom was so strict. There was a bell with a string she put on the door every night to hear if we snuck out or if we came in past curfew.
That's a little nuts. Jeez,
tricky.
It's
a little nuts.
Brittany says, I was the first child, a.k.a. the guinea pig, so they were strict with me. 10 years later, they were super chill with my little
boy. That's what you said.
And Brittany, or Brittan, maybe, says that her parents were big on open communication about drinking, drugs, and relationships, but they were parents first. She says, it reminded me that my parents were once my age, and ultimately, they just want what's best for me.
Mm. Yes.
Coming up, you guys. Time to spill some Atlanta Housewives tea. Kenya Moore. Is here. We'll talk to her in just a minute. She's in New York, but she's here on the show.
Our favorite peach.
Heavy. No.
She is back, and so is the shade. Please welcome from Real Housewives of Atlanta and the Ease People's Choice Awards nominated show, Miss Kenya Moore.
Yes.
Wait.
Hi.
First of all, the first thing I noticed besides your face is that rock still on your hand.
Oh, yes, yes.
So there is...
Wow.
Oh, wait.
How did you notice? I didn't even see that, and I always see
it's
that.
It's the first thing
so
I noticed.
Big.
So, wait, I thought you guys separated. Are you guys getting back together?
Well, you know, we did separate, and with married couples, things happen, yeah. and arguments happen, and you have highs and lows. We have not filed either of us have not filed yet, so I'm not going to take my ring off until it's over. And right now, there's still a chance because we're still talking and we're still, you know, we still very much care about each other and love each other.
Do you want things to work out with him right now? Do you feel like that's what you want, or do you feel like you're just kind of taking it day by day?
It is what I want. I mean, that's my family. Mark is my husband. We have a beautiful child together, and that's our family. And that's what I've prayed for my entire life. And to have it and to give up within 2 years is just not something that I would want to do.
What do you think needs to happen? What needs to change for this to work?
Yeah.
Counseling, better communication. I think it's really kind of simple when you put it, you know, in a box, but that means unpacking a lot of issues.
Yeah.
Totally.
Have you considered or imagined your life as a single mother up until now?
Wow. No. And honestly, if I were a single mother, I wouldn't be single for long.
We know that, honey. We are not concerned about that. We know that would change very quickly.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Your baby is so adorable.
Thank you.
Well, speaking of your baby, you are an ambassador for the Baby Quest Foundation. How did you get involved with that?
You know, I went through so much to have my miracle baby, and I wanted to just do something to give back. I'm in a place where I'm on a show, we make, you know, considerable amount of money, and I had the means to go through IVF in order to have my miracle family. But there are a lot of families out there that don't necessarily have the money to live their dreams by having, you know, a child. Mm-hmm. So I reached out to them because I admire them so much and are values align. And I love everything that they stand for. They give grants to families for reproductive assistance.
Oh, wow.
And I love that they give out grants to gays, straights, you know, single, married, everything that you can think of. And that is what I want, something that is inclusive and that is attainable for people.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
That's amazing.
Now, you said you went back to the show, and I'm happy you brought that up, because I want to know, had they invited you back to the show as a friend Ooh. And not given you that peach, would you have gone back?
Honey. Really? Really, Justin?
Would you have done it? Because we see Marlo, she does it all every
Vicky
year.
Vicky's gone back without a peach, or not a peach.
Honey, you cannot compare
orange.
Me to Marlo. I set this show on fire. The moment I stepped on this stage, I will come in as a housewife and I will leave as a housewife.
Damn.
I love you. You're so fun.
Well, listen, look, I watched the show. You and Portia made up. You guys are like moving forward, but it seems that you and Nene, y'all have some issues going on right now, and there's a rumor going around that she tried to spit on you. Is that true?
That's not a rumor. It is true. You know, she definitely threatened to spit on me and was making the motion to spit.
Did she?
On
did
me,
saliva
so.
Actually hit the skin?
You. Well, you know what? You're gonna have to watch the show to see. Oh. But that is not a rumor.
Damn.
Unfortunately, a 52-year-old woman behaving like that.
You don't want to be spit on that.
Spitting on someone, I think, is the worst thing you can do. I think pushing someone is...
I think it's the worst thing you can do, too.
Right?
Right.
I agree. It's gutter behavior.
Wow.
I mean...
I really want to know if saliva touched.
The super tease.
Well, that's why we're going to watch the whole season.
Thank you so much for talking with us today. You guys, The Real Housewives, we love you on the show. And The Real Housewives of Atlanta, it airs on Sundays on Bravo. You do not want to miss one episode. I am telling you. We'll be right back with more Daily Pop.
Bye, Kenya.
Bye.
Keanu Reeves and longtime friend Alexander Grant were holding hands on the red carpet for an art event in L.A., raising very big questions, like, are they together? Word is Keanu and the acclaimed artist have been longtime business partners and friends, and despite reports, this is their first public outing. They have been photographed together at events over the years. So, what do you guys think about this?
I'm really upset about it.
Why? Are you?
Because Keanu's in my top three.
By the way, what is the deal with Keanu being like the hottest he's ever been in his entire life? I do not understand.
The GQ article?
I can't, with the hair and the Saint Laurent, the glasses, it was like, what's up, bro?
Yeah.
Hot. I'm happy for
I think if you walk a red carpet holding hands with somebody, you are sending a message.
Yeah, we also say that about people who walk out of Starbucks together and get photographed.
It's really true.
Yeah, but a red carpet's different. A red carpet, Starbucks,
like, look at this. Like, this to me looks like business partners posing.
No. There's a photo of her walking into the venue and she looks back at the camera like this. She's like, I got
it. Yeah, but
it.
I'm sure.
I got it. It's
no,
mine.
No, I'm sure that the photographer was like, can we get a photo? And she was like, you know, I don't know. I mean.
She was like, yes, I'm doing it. That's what she said. You know that photo.
I love that photo. It's a really good photo. That was my favorite photo over the red carpet photos.
But you know when somebody looks back and your man's still walking.
I know, but do you really think
they're holding hands again? There's a lot of holding
hands. They're bumping it. They are bumping it. And they should be.
You think so too?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I mean, I don't know why I'm devastated.
I think if you're going to hold hands, I think you're making a statement.
You're bumping
All right,
it.
Speaking of Keanu, he is up for 2 E! People's Choice Awards this Sunday, including the Male Movie Star of 2019. Now, this category is pretty stacked. It also includes Robert Downey Jr., Chris Hemsworth, Will Smith, Dwayne Johnson, Tom Holland, Samuel L. Jackson, and Adam Sandler. Guys, who's going to win this one?
It's a hard one, because Keanu is having a good year.
Yes, he is.
But Dwayne Johnson is also having a good one, too.
He's going to be Chris Hemsworth.
You know, I normally always pick him, but because I always pick him, I didn't want to pick him this time. So I'm going to go with Will Smith because, yes, he had Aladdin, he had Gemini Man, and I know Gemini Man didn't get the box office numbers that they were hoping, but it's that Instagram. He is blown up on Instagram, and I think sometimes, like, that extra visibility wins.
Yes. I think you might be right.
I think it's Chris Hemsworth.
We'll have to find out who's going to take Male Movie Star 2019 when the E! People's Choice Awards airs this Sunday night at 9 right here on
And E! We're going.
Yes, we are. Stick around. We've got more Daily Pop just ahead. Okay, we're going to wrap this up with your thoughts on what it means if you dream about your teeth falling out. You think it's what?
I think it's, somebody told me it's a fear of getting older.
Okay, and I heard that it's you're not feeling super confident or attractive at that moment. Julie says, I always heard that when your dream you dream your teeth fell out, it means that somebody died? Oh, that's I have not, thank God, that's not happened.
That's not been my reality.
I've had that dream many times.
I've only had that dream once. And you know, they start like sloshing out, like you're like running over them.
Oh, wow.
Just yeah. me? Anyway.
No, I haven't had that.
Cool.
Nisha says, dreams of teeth falling out are about not speaking your mind or not saying something you need to.
That sounds accurate.
Lots of thoughts on what this means. So ultimately, we have no idea. Tomorrow, Jersey Housewife Melissa Gorga joins us live. Yay, have a great day. See you tomorrow. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the podcast edition of Daily Pop. Remember, we've got a new episode every day. Make sure to subscribe and have a great rest of your day.